Chapter 13 Microbiology, the cellular structure of living things. Cells from the simplest perspective. Introductory concepts, three components of cells in the simplest sense. The typical eukaryote cell can be divided into three sections, which is the cell membrane, the cytoplasm and the nucleus. Simpler cells such as bacteria, prokaryotes that do not have a nucleus, can be divided into two sections, the cell membrane, and the cell contents. The cell membrane is the container. The cytoplasm is the contents of the cell, excluding the nucleus. Most of the following discussion applies to cells with a membrane-bound nucleus, eukaryotes. The cytoplasm contains various structures called organelles. The organelles carry out various processes needed by the cell, such as energy production, protein synthesis, storage of wastes, and many other processes. The nucleus is roughly in the center of the cell, in most species, where it may wobble around. The nucleus contains genetic information for reproduction, and for various components needed by the cell, such as proteins and enzymes. In the following paragraphs, I will discuss the various structural components found in cells in more detail. The cell membrane. The cell membrane is the outer portion of the cell, which serves as a container for the contents of the cell. It is a semipermeable membrane, and it may appear as a simple enclosure when examined under the microscope. However, cell membranes are very complex devices, and they may differ from one cell to another in very significant ways. Most cell membranes from animal cells and protozoa are flexible and are more or less similar to a tiny plastic bag filled with water. However, most plant cells are relatively inflexible as a result of a cellulose wall that surrounds the cell. Transport of chemicals through the cell membrane. The cell membrane is a semipermeable structure that allows certain chemicals to enter and other chemicals to be excreted. The chemical exchanges that take place through the cell membrane can be divided into two categories. One is an inactive form of transport, and the other is an active form of transport. This is explained under the following two subheadings. Inactive transport through the cell membrane. Inactive transport through the cell membrane depends on the concentration of chemicals in the environment versus the concentration of the chemicals inside the cell. With inactive transport, if the concentration of a chemical is higher in the exterior of the cell, it will enter. If it is lower in the external environment, some of the chemical will leave the cell. For example, if you place a plant, such as celery or carrots, in very salty water, the cells will take in salt, and they will also excrete some water, which will result in wilting. This type of inactive transport is not unique to living things. For example, if you fill a basin with water, and you place a bag made of a semipermeable membrane filled with salt water, eventually the water in the basin will be just as salty as the water in the bag. This process will happen quicker at warmer temperatures. However, if you used a chemical with a large molecular size, instead of salt, such as certain proteins, the concentration in the basin and bag will stay the same, if the molecules cannot pass through the bag. This applies to cells also. That is, certain substances cannot pass into or out of the cell because of their molecular structure. For example, large protein molecules produced by the cell cannot pass through the cell membrane because of their molecular size. An active form of transport through the cell membrane requires energy. The other category of transport through the cell membrane is an active form of transport, and it involves the consumption of energy. The active transport can go against the concentration gradient of the environment. It can transport certain chemicals into the cell, and it can excrete certain chemicals out of the cell, while going against the concentration gradient. It can also prevent substances from entering or leaving the cell in spite of the concentration gradient. What is protoplasm? Protoplasm is a general term that refers to living matter of any type. Essentially, protoplasm means one or more living cells, or a mass of live cells. What is cytoplasm? Cytoplasm is not a precise structural component. It is the entire contents of the cell excluding the nucleus. The cytoplasm contains a number of organelles, water, electrolytes and other chemicals. The cytoplasm can easily be seen with large cells, with a light microscope. In living cells, especially protozoa, it may look like a thick liquid that swishes around, with the slightest motion of the cell. The nucleus eukaryote cells contain a membrane-bound nucleus that more or less looks like a smaller cell inside the cell, and it contains its own membrane. The nucleus is often in or near the central portion of the cell, and it can usually be seen with the light microscope, especially if dyes are used. When viewing the nucleus in living cells through the microscope, it is not unusual to see the nucleus wobbling around inside the cell. This is especially apparent with large protozoa. In the nucleus there are the genes, chromosomes, DNA, RNA, which store the data for cell reproduction, and the creation of various proteins, enzymes and related structures needed to maintain the cell. Ribosomes are small organelles that are primarily composed of ribosomal RNA, and they are involved with protein synthesis. The RNA contains the instructional code to create various types of proteins needed by the cell. These instructions are essentially obtained from the DNA in the nucleus, and are transmitted to the ribosomal sites by way of transfer RNA-tRNA. Mitochondria is an organelle involved in energy production, involving a complex series of chemical reactions that is called the Krebs cycle. With some cells, under appropriate conditions, it is possible to see mitochondria with the light microscope, essentially as little specks or dots. However, to make out any detail of the internal structure of mitochondria, requires an electron microscope. Most likely, the mitochondria have significantly more structural detail than can be seen with any available device. To see some diagrams and electrophotomicrographs of the mitochondria, see the following websites. Websites with photographs and diagrams of the mitochondria. There are website links on this page that will not be verbalized.